Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
I just don't like his attitude.
Nobody does.
He's unlikable.
He's very unlikable.
He plays the villain.
You kind of need that in society.
I guess.
Like you on this show, we need a villain. You're the villain.
How am I the villain? The voice of reason.
The voice of reason.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Jerry's percentages in half an hour. NHL awards go on tonight. The NHL draft starting Friday night. NBA draft tomorrow night. So going to be a couple of fun nights watching TV. A couple of couching evenings.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Wheel?
Yeah, I might just do that. Although I got a wedding this weekend, so kind of want to make sure that I'm in fine form getting that suit
on.
And
do you hit up a wedding?
Yeah, you
do
got like...
Do you hit up a wedding?
I had a wedding last weekend. I want to give a shout out to Curtis, who was sitting at my table. Big, big Overdrive fan.
Friend of the show?
Friend of the show. Great, okay. Great chatting with him. Big Leaf fan. And had one last week, have one this week, and then I've got back-to-back in July as well. So over the course of, I think, 7 weeks, I have four weddings.
Any on long weekends? Because that is a gutless move.
None on long weekends.
That is...
Yeah.
I know people that refuse to go, no matter who it is. Long weekend wedding? Sorry, I only get so many. How could you do that to people?
Well, the toughest move on the long weekend wedding is having it on the Sunday.
Yeah.
I have been to one of those before.
Sunday wedding?
Well, because they know everybody's off on the Monday. So it's cheaper to get the place on the Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
And everybody's off on the Monday, so they're like, you know what? Because if you're going to do a long weekend wedding, do it on the Saturday so people have the Sunday and the Monday off.
I will say this. I felt like we didn't have a long weekend off because I had to be at work. But we went to a wedding on a long weekend, and... It was about an hour out of town, down by the vineyard somewhere, like towards Buffalo or towards
St. Catharines.
Yeah. They had a pizza wedding. So they got married at like 4 o'clock.
Niagara on the Lake.
Yeah, and it was nice, but for the meal, it was gourmet pizza forever. Like, there was just a buffet of pizzas. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, it was a Sunday.
Not for me, but...
It was a Sunday, and I think, like, we had to come back early because I think I was working, like, Monday. It was something weird. Like, I couldn't drink or anything, and not that I would have gone crazy, but it was a unique wedding.
One of my favorite foods of all time is the banquet, the Italian banquet hall penne, al dente. It comes out so perfect with that sauce.
Is it al dente or a dante?
Dante.
I think it's dente.
I think it's al dente.
We're going to have to get an Italian to weigh in.
Yeah.
That.
Don't look at me. I have no idea.
Isn't that where it's a little harder? Like,
yeah,
that's
firm.
Well, you're married to an Italian, so you should know.
I can't even cook.
Yeah, she's
it doesn't
good
matter.
At ordering it. I'll
she still knows it all. Like, wow, Steph would know all that kind of stuff.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it might be al dente.
I have no idea.
She told me yesterday that she felt Italian was her first language. She learned that first, but she doesn't speak it. Can understand it a little bit, but that's it.
Yeah, I never really understood the purpose of that. Like, if you can't interact, okay, you can listen to it
and you can understand it, but what's going on?
I guess there is a benefit to that, but ultimately, wouldn't that be that would get very frustrating? I would think both parties, like the person that speaks Italian, like exclusively Italian, at some point would be like, "Can you figure this out and start talking back to me?"
If you can understand it, then how can't you reciprocate?
But that's always the case. I know a lot of people like that. Like, that growing up, a lot of it is like that. Italian grandparents or whatever, right. Or whatever language it might be. And they can understand it to an extent. They don't get it all, but they get enough. And they just, I don't know, they can't follow through.
Well,
they can't speak back. Cool Ray's coming up. Ray's Italian. He'll know. We'll ask Ray.
Mm-hmm.
The Jays played this afternoon. They won. Jay Happ actually pitched into the ninth inning. This is a testament to how ugly it's been this year for the Blue Jays and for the
first
staff.
First time a pitcher's gone to the ninth?
First time all year a starter pitched into the ninth. And it
Maybe
got ugly
second
for
second time into the eighth.
That's right. And that was in April. Sanchez had that no-hitter going
awful,
into the eighth.
That's awful,
man. That's how bad it's been.
Well, that Jaime Garcia, he is...
not...
He's a gas can right now.
Yeah,
his ERA's up over six. I mean, there's a reason he was the fifth starter. But that's the guy you'd hope to flip, you know, left-hander.
Who the hell's going to want Jaime Garcia?
The only thing I would say is that Francisco Liriano got traded last year. And he got traded for Teoscar Hernandez, which turned out to be a great trade for the Blue Jays. So if Liriano is a guy who, remember him, he was in and out of the lineup. His numbers were just brutal, but he's a lefty who had been around for a while. Maybe he becomes a bullpen guy, a sixth starter. I could see Garcia being that. I wouldn't expect Teoscar Hernandez-type players to come back and return, but if you've got guys on one-year deals, like Happ has got to be traded, Estrada's got to be traded, Garcia has to be traded. If you can get anything right for them, you've got to do it. There's no point in keeping them here.
Mm-hmm. I would turn as much over as you can.
Absolutely. And Donaldson, update came out today. He's back in Florida, continuing to rehab.
Yeah, it's
So he's just put back another
he's
month.
Gone.
I don't know when he's coming back. They don't have an answer. But the fact that he's out of Toronto and back in Dunedin, that's a bad sign.
I've got confirmation here from...
Al Dente.
From Oresta.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dente, which means tooth. Saying is translated looses from hard as tooth.
So pasta.
Whatever, Orest.
Well, that's the truth.
Leave us alone, buds.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, I've got it, and this is what it is, and Ray can speak to it as well.
Well, we've got another Italian on the line. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Ray Ferraro. Here, throw that at Ray. What were you talking about?
Is Penne called Al Dente or Al Dante?
Al Dente.
Sorry, Orest.
Sorry, Ray. Sorry, all of the Italian people that listen to us.
Well, I knew it was Dente.
Ray, who makes the best penne al dente pasta in your family? Your nonna?
My nonna. Unfortunately, nonna's passed and our recipes have gone. We got the same recipe, and it doesn't taste the same.
Not even close, man.
I don't know how they did it. I don't get it. It was so much better. She used to make, this will be ridiculous, we'd have like these buns for lunch. They were like, you could use them as a basketball. They were so hard. And somehow she'd cut them, and then you'd get these cold meats and things, and they were amazing. My mom would go get them. We'd be like, Mom, we're going to bust our teeth. These things are terrible. It was amazing. Like, anything she made was so good.
I've never understood how the Italians eat. It's like when I used to grow up, and I used to go to my buddy's house, the Rocco family, and it would start off with this massive bowl of pasta, and then it's like, I'm stuffed. And that's just kicking it off.
I love it.
Okay. Sausage, chicken, anything else after that, then fire in a salad afterwards. I'm like, I was done after feeding on the penne.
We had this past Sunday, Father's Day, starts off with a giant chunk of lasagna, and it's like unreal, and then it's into the chicken.
Sausages.
And, well, there's everything. Steak, the table's just full, and... Like I say, Steph's a great spectator, but she's feeding the baby, so I will give her that. But like Steph's mom, the whole family can cook. It's unreal.
Yeah. What did your parents ask her? Did you eat today? Oh, yeah, I had a granola bar and a lemon.
No, she's been good. But it was, man, the food there was unreal.
There really is.
I love it.
I'll give Italians credit.
There's nothing like an 80-year-old woman just ripping a strip off you because you haven't eaten enough.
Exactly. That's so true.
And you're like, Nona, I can't eat anymore. You know, like?
Yeah.
Well, no, I love it, but I've had 11 bowls of pasta. I can't eat anymore.
Yeah. What's the reaction if you ever ask for ketchup in an Italian household?
I asked Bates Battaglia for mustard for the Italian sausage, and he looked at me like I was an idiot. I'm like, dude, I want mustard and possibly ketchup on this sausage. And I don't care if you're offended or whatever,
I'm
but
with
it's going
you, man.
On.
I do the same thing.
If it's cooked right, you don't need it.
No, yeah, you do.
We
are munja cakes.
Right, those are cultures clashing.
Yeah.
Clashing over mustard and ketchup. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. So, we get the draft in a couple of days, and we all know what Buffalo's going to do. It sounds like Svechnikov is going to go to Carolina. Then the draft begins at 3 with Montreal, which I find humorous because Bergevin, he's always willing to take that platform and have the whole league talk about him. But it sounds like they're going to hold on to that pick. But with Bergevin, shouldn't we be prepared for anything?
Like he is willing to move and shake. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. He Absolutely. Trades that third pick. I'd love to see it.
But what would it take? Like, you got to think, okay, they've got to address one of two needs. They need a centerman or they need a defenseman. They need a top-end guy because without Weber, and who knows what his health is, I don't know. But, I mean, you've got to have, you know, those are two real weaknesses for them. And so who would have one of those players that would wedge you out of that third pick? Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, you know, if I'm Buffalo, I'm trying with Ryan O'Reilly and some package of something.
Well, you think they have to at least think about things, because what are they going to do? The other two guys that are going to be available are scoring wingers.
But isn't I was talking to Craig. Craig said that after two, there's about five or six guys that are kind of in that mix, and two of them are centers. And that's where I thought, because
one,
you know,
kid's been jumping up the
right, it's climbing. The, yeah. I think, but that's where
that's caught Kanyemi, yes, the Finch kid.
Right, that's where, and we all know, usually in the top 10, there's one dud. I mean, it's not. I mean, if we look back at previous drafts, but there's usually one guy that doesn't pan out as good as we think they're going to be. That's where I think it gets scary. If you are, you know, the Habs and other teams that are looking to reshape your roster a lot quicker than other teams, especially if you got a high pick, you got to pick the right guy. It could change the fortunes of the organization.
But Montreal, like, trading that pick to me makes very little sense.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a lot of prospects that jump out off the page, like young guys that are outside the league. So start adding to the cupboard. I know they're boxed in a little bit with Weber and Price and their ages, but 5 and 6 years is a long time. We're seeing players when they get to be 20 and 21 that they can be, you know, not just part-time contributors, but real contributors. Players develop faster now. So I wouldn't trade that pick. If you like Kotkaniemi, if you think he's, you know, a player that can be a one or two centerman for you, I think you've got to take him there.
Yeah,
Then you get to Ottawa. What the hell are they going to do? Because they've got to give a first rounder in one of the next 2 years, and it's got to be their own.
Right.
Man, that's a...
I think just based on playing the odds, they'll probably keep this, because even if they finish last next year, statistically speaking with the lottery balls, says you're still going to pick fourth.
I agree. I think they roll the dice on themselves, at least trying to climb out of, like, to get to 11th worst in the NHL instead of, you know, where they were, second worst. Like,
I think next year Jack Hughes is, you know, people are talking about him the same way they talk about Dahlin. And are you going to really trade that pick? Like, what if you, like, if you make the pick at four, that means next year Colorado gets the pick. There is no more decision to be made, because it's got to be your pick.
Yep.
What if you win the lottery? Man, they're going to get steamrolled.
Oof,
Seems to me it's already a debacle because of what they had to give up. You know, they gave up Turris, they gave up the first rounder, they gave up a second rounder. Like, it's a costly trade. And then they've had, you know, what's happened this week, and... Oh, I don't know, man. There's no easy decision, but four is... I think I would move the pick this year. I'm already accepting that I'm not going to be any good, and I'm going to try and make a trade. In the trade with Carlson, I'm trying to pick up another first rounder. Well, I will. That helps offset the one that I'm just going to have to give away because of the Duchene trade.
Well, I do think the Carlson deal is linked to this. I think if he's going to be traded this weekend, what they're signaling is we're in big trouble. Like, we're taking steps backwards. So there is a chance we're as bad as we were last year, maybe somehow worse. But I think if they're actually committed, and no one can get a read on this because of the owner trying to keep them here, then I do think you probably keep this pick, you give away the next pick, and you try to prove to him, you know, we're all in, we're going to get better, you're going to improve that. But there's also another angle to this that just adds insult to injury. Think about this. Let's say they keep this pick, and next year they automatically give away that pick.
But hang on a sec. Sorry. Before you go with that game plan, Brian, don't you have to go to Carlson and say, what is it, out or not?
Well,
and
of course
you make
you
the
do.
Decision.
Yeah, you have to make that decision.
They know what he's doing already.
I think they know if he wants to stay or not, and they know if they're willing to, even if he is willing to stay, if they're willing to pay him what he wants. So I'm sure that decision's been made already, and we'll find out this weekend. But let's say they keep this pick, and they take the fourth pick, and then next year they hand that over to Colorado. Not only does Colorado end up in the top three,
right.
That same week that we're going to be at the draft next week, Matt Duchene lets the world know, I'm not re-signing in Ottawa. So not only did the guy you trade for not want to stick around, the pick you gave up is a top three pick going to Colorado. That has the makings of one of the more embarrassing situations.
But they'll trade Duchene. You'll get value for Duchene, and then you'll trade
but
Carlson.
But still, when you just lump everything together.
Well, he's got 1 year left on his deal, right? So they have to trade him at the deadline next year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you'll get, like, you're not just going to lose Duchene for nothing. You'll trade him. Like, you may not get what you paid for him.
Well, that's what fans are going to say. They're going to say, we went through all of this to trade Duchene for what we could have got more for whenever.
But,
it's
you
crazy.
Know what, like, people will say in that, like, you can go hindsight and be GM coach from a couch, but I'm just saying, like, I would take my chance on next year. And also, if you're going to trade Carlson, you're going to get multiple high picks. So that may make potentially what you're laying out, Brian, for next year, situation soften a little bit if you end up losing, you know, but I guess it could be a first overall pick if
it could
that
be.
Bad. If you lose or win the lottery, you call it.
Can I throw something else in here?
Sure, throw another scenario.
You've got Erik Karlsson, so you've got a bucket of teams that are interested. But according to Frank Saravelli, Dorion doesn't like to talk to teams or to trade players in his own division.
Right.
So you're going to take 25% of your possible paying customers and say, no thanks, we're not even going to listen.
You have to listen, like, on everyone.
I don't care if you trade the guy next door. Who cares? You play him five times a year. Are you worried about a playoff series? Because I got news for you. That's like worrying if the sun's going to fall on your head.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Man, get the best stuff you can get. I think they're in a position here, they can't fix what they have.
No.
In my opinion. So you might as well just rip it right back to the shore and start bringing in as many assets as you can. Big-time assets. Because they got burned on the Hoffman deal. Not all of it to their fault. I mean, the circumstance made it a really difficult trade to make. But Mikhail Bodker's a power play guy, 40 points. And then San Jose turns that around to a way better bounty of draft picks.
Yeah, second and fourth,
Yeah, this has been a tough couple of weeks here in Ottawa, and it's not getting easier.
Well, and they tweeted out, like every team has, because the home openers were announced today. And if you want to find some humor, go check out the mentions on that tweet, courtesy of the Ottawa Senators Twitter handle, where they tweeted out that Ottawa is playing, I think, Chicago in the home opener. And just, it's one smart ass after the next. He's like, no thanks, not going to be there.
I saw a bunch of tweets and Instagram stuff where the New York Islanders versus Carolina Hurricanes, and it was Barzal, the picture of Barzal and the picture of another Carolina Hurricane. I found that interesting.
Well,
you can't put Tavares on.
Well,
you don't
I
know he's coming back.
Yeah, not right now. I mean, maybe 2 weeks from now if that works out for them. But I get the sense that us not being at the draft, all hell's going to break loose there. Brian thinks it's because of him that usually when we're there, not much goes on. But the fact that we're going to be sitting at home, this could be an epic one.
I think there's a couple real blockbusters that are going to happen on the floor.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, like the Carlson stuff, of course, just doesn't show up very often. What if the Islanders have the sense now that they can't sign Tavares? Are they going to get into a spot where they can at least recoup something? Like one of those trades, right at the draft thing? There's multiple teams that have restricted free agents. Would this be the year that they'd be worried about an offer sheet? Like, it just, to me, like, there's so many variables this year that really can really can tip this thing on its ear. I think there's lots going to happen. I really do.
Do you think the Matthews and Babcock relationship stuff, is that going to show up in the draft, or is that done until the fall?
Well, how would it show up?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Babcock would be down there, so you know how the league talks, and Matthews' agent will be there, and his contract is right around the corner. I mean, it was a big story when it happened, and we kind of let it go, as you would expect. I mean, other things pop up, but like that's the superstar player, and there are reports that he and the coach are not necessarily on the best terms, regardless of what Babcock is saying publicly. You hear it from the other side, coming out of the Matthews camp, that maybe don't listen to everything that Babcock is saying. So, you know, that's...
Hey, I think mid-July to August 1st, that's when the fan gets going on those, like, you know, the fan of the fire gets going on that. Like, if he's not signed by mid-July to August 1st, now you're a month or 6 weeks away from camp, and then it starts to get a little... You know, starts to get a little hotter, I think.
No, not in this town, Ray.
We're talking about Josh Donaldson's heels or whatever until they move him along. But man, I don't think that's dead yet. Until his name is on the paper, there'll always be something to at least wonder there.
Well, and I think when he shows up to camp and once the season gets started, who he's playing with, the power play minutes, the amount of minutes overall. I mean, it will more than likely be an ongoing story all year, but I was listening to something this morning where it was about Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich, and it was Jeff Van Gundy was talking about this. He's like, as a coach, if your superstar is not on the same page as you, not day in, day out, but for the most part, you guys right. have a connection, you could be in big trouble because that permeates the rest of the group. They follow what's going on with the superstar. They follow that relationship, and they understand the importance of it. And I'm not saying that this is friction to the point where it's going to cause ripple effects in the Leaf room or what have you. Not yet. Not right now. But this isn't the fourth defenseman who doesn't get along right. with Babcock. You know right. what I'm saying? This isn't the third line guy. This isn't even like a guy like Kadri. This is the boy wonder, the Messiah here in
right,
Toronto.
Right.
Year two, Babcock's flying down to meet him, and I think we all know the reasoning behind it.
Now, it's the first thing I thought of when you said Jeff Van Gundy and star player. Brian, you might have seen this. I don't know if the other guys have.
Him hanging on a guy's leg?
Oh, my God.
Who was he wrestling? Who was he hanging on?
Well, I think he's on Patrick Ewing's leg, which is their star player.
He was dragging him around the court.
Oh, like a three-year-old. He gets knocked down in the little scuffle, and he's holding onto the guy's leg, you know, like a chihuahua. And it's one of the greatest video clips of all time. I just love it.
That's a superstar, man. You got to have your superstar's back or your leg, whatever it happens to be.
I've got your leg, Patrick. You're safe here.
Yep, Jeff Van Gundy. He's a wise guy, man. He's been there before.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that, though, too, is just, 3 weeks ago when Shaq and Charles Barkley got into it on the panel about you got to have a great relationship with your star player, and Shaq's like, no, you don't. I'm sure you guys all saw that.
That was about DeMar DeRozan, I believe, well, him, and the fact that DeMar got sat in the fourth quarter.
Him and Barkley got into it.
And Barkley was saying you got to have a great relationship, and O'Reilly's like, no, you don't. I never had one with Pat Riley. And so you're like, man. So I think it's a lot of times it depends on who the guy is. Shaq probably was like, who the hell cares what you say anyway? I mean, the ball's coming into me, and that's the way it goes. But it was such a lightning bolt that story came out publicly that until Matthew's name is on a long-term deal, there's always something there to at least think about.
Yep.
Because it does matter. Until he's on a 8-year contract, until his contract supersedes Babcock, then there's always something to wonder about.
Enjoy it tonight, NHL Awards. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It can't be any worse than my putting because I suck today. So
tell me you
go
broke
Johnny
your
Miller and close your eyes.
I might as well. Oh, seriously. Like that 30 pots today. You can't.
No. You're not going low with 30 pots.
Come in early before Trade Center, and we'll play the afternoon before Trade Center.
Really?
Yeah.
How early do we have to be there?
Well, it's on Sunday. It starts at 11, I think, so let's play Saturday afternoon.
I think I need to talk to Madeline.
Yeah. Make it work. Cross the T's and dot the I's.
It'll get done.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
Here's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com. NHL Awards tonight. Jerry's Percentages next.
Thanks for listening to Overdrive. Visit TSN1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf from underpar.com. We'll also award five runners-up with $100 gift cards. Enter up to once per day until July 1st. Pay less and play more with underpar.com.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
I'm a cowboy, baby, with the top let down and the sunshine shining.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages. You know the way this works. Jerry shows up every week. He's got a bunch of takes. We place a percentage on the likelihood of these actually happening. He's ready to get right after
Let's
it this
go.
Week.
This is my second last Jerry's before my annual summer break. And I'm hungover in Vegas for this stupid award show. So this is going to be a biblical mail-in from Jerry. My give a shit meter is lower than Phil Kessel playing in Arizona. Speaking of Phil, the Pens will trade him this summer.
Phil getting dealt from Pittsburgh. Now, Jerry did not say he's going to Arizona, but he did say he believes Pittsburgh will trade Philip Kessel.
I could see it. Go ahead. Do you want to go first, O?
I'm going to go 55%. Yeah. I think when the coach was, I think, calling him out, and he says, I'd be happy to accept the trade, that's the first crack, and generally the team and people figure out what to do from there.
Phil's got a shelf life. Like in Boston, he was there for a few years, moved on. In Toronto, he was here for, what, five? Moved on. He's been there in Pittsburgh for three.
Yep.
This is kind of the trend with Phil. And I think the fact that he is out there saying through the media that he's fine with getting dealt
right.
probably means that he sees it coming anyway. Maybe passive aggressively being like, go ahead, get rid of me. I don't care.
Me, go ahead,
Which means that said something to me. That leads me to believe Phil kind of knows he's getting traded. And, you know, the Leafs are already eating $1.2 million on his deal. Pittsburgh could eat a little bit more. This guy had 92 points a year ago.
Yeah.
And you say 65%.
I was thinking that number, too. I think it's a... Not only... But that's a big... It's such a big number for them. It's a big cap hit. That's where you're just trying to free up money and move past that situation. Not even if you... I'm not even suggesting you dislike the player. You just need to change a little bit and tweak your team. Rutherford's not shy to tweak his team. That he could be a casualty of that, and why not get out in front of it now while he still has lots of value? Here's 90 points. You can wave it in front of somebody. And there's a lot of teams that would take that title.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the baggage and the contract, there's teams that can afford it. The cap's going up. I could see this being a high number, too. I'll say I'm going to go just a little bit lower. I'm 51%. I'm still on the minority, but lower.
The two stooges in Edmonton and Montreal, Peter Chiarelli and Marc Bergevin, will keep their GM jobs longer than at least one other Canadian GM.
Wow, this is a very impressive Jerry's. I like this one. This is a spicy Jerry.
So Chiarelli and Bergeron stick around before a Benning gets fired, a Dorion.
Yep, a Dubas. Shovel day off. In other words,
I'm
the other five GMs.
I'm 25% on that one.
There's only... Who are we missing for GMs?
I think Trey Living is on thin ice in Calgary.
Yeah.
I think Dorion, it's tough to say because of the owner. It's very difficult to get a read in
Those
Ottawa.
Those are the only two that would really... in Benning.
I'd say at 25% because I think firings happen out of the blue sometimes in Canadian markets.
Where, well, and both of them have to have good summers. So if at Christmas either one of their teams isn't where they the owner wants it to be, I could see moves. So I'll be, but you're right. Tree Living is a guy who has gone. His body of work, I think, has been pretty good there. It's just that the ownership keeps him on like short-term deals.
They don't have a pick until, I think, the fourth round in the draft this year.
Calgary, yeah.
Missed the playoffs, don't have a pick in the first three rounds. That's not a great look for any GM.
That's Kamenik and Dougie Hamilton. And
yep. He's a big game hunter. He goes out there and he makes deals at the draft. He's done that the past couple of years. But I think it's Trey Living or Dorian that would fight with these two guys. And it's not just one of them. It's both of them are going to stay on.
How many rounds are there? Seven?
Seven rounds.
So the Flames could send like two guys.
They'll be down
there. Two guys for the table.
I'm going to say, because crazier things have happened, 40%.
I'm going to say 18%. I think it's, but you're right. There could be change. I just don't know. Dorian just got the job, like relatively. He hasn't been on the job that long, over a year.
I just wonder if the owner will make him the whipping boy if no one shows up at the rink. If these deals go south, it's an easy way to be like, well, it was the GM's fault. We'll get rid of him.
Very budget conscious team, though. That's the only Tree Living could be a spicy meatball.
The Raptors will make a trade tomorrow night and move into the first round of the draft. Time to put up or shut up, Masai.
Well, the Raps are very similar to the Calgary Flames. They don't have any picks tomorrow night.
Yeah.
No picks. But Jerry's saying they're moving into the first round.
What do you mean? Like, no picks total?
They do not have a pick tomorrow night. There's only two rounds, but they do not have a pick.
Well.
Well, they,
50%? Because sometimes when they say they're going to do it, it never materializes. That's my, I don't even know how to answer that, Jerry's. Not my favorite Jerry's, but I'm going 50%.
17%. Tough to make moves sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, I mean, the NBA draft, if you're in the top 10, you think you're getting a guy, it's a big drop-off after that. Like every other draft.
Right.
But it's not a scenario where I can't picture him, you know, trading in to get the 25th pick.
Right.
You know, maybe you got your eye on some diamond in the rough, but
yeah,
if you're going to move in, you're probably trying to move into the top 10. And if you're doing that, you're trading. That's a big trade.
You're trading one of your big boys.
Yeah, you're trading a big boy or one of the kids that really has high value. And I'm not, then maybe you're just trading one guy for the other in a similar position. I'm pretty low on this. 25%.
The biggest prima donna in sports will be heading north of the border. That's right, Canada. Terrell Owens will sign in the CFL. That guy won't even show up to the Hall of Fame. He might not go to games.
Jerry, not mailing it in.
I think Terrell Owens has too big of an ego to play in the CFL. I mean, I know Johnny Manziel's got an ego too, but I think Terrell Owens has convinced himself he should be back in the NFL. I think it's a whole different animal as far as ego.
It is, and the CFL, it's not a dog and pony show. If you sign here, it's not like you can leave in 2 weeks and go to the NFL.
I know, right. But I think in his head he would consider it that.
Oh, I agree. He's going into the Hall of Fame this summer. He's not showing up for it, but he keeps doing the no-shirt pictures on Instagram.
44 is looking pretty good.
He's shredded. He's running 40s. He's telling people he wants to play. The NFL is not an option. Terrell Owens, I can't picture him in the NFL because of the baggage and everything.
That's
and he's
the
44.
The attitude and the baggage.
But the CFL, I could. I mean, Edmonton put him on the negotiating list for a reason, to at least have a conversation with him. They say 5%. The doors open a little bit. 5%.
This guy could sell jerseys, too.
Yes,
this guy is a big name. And when the CFL is looking for that type of name recognition, why not? You got Manziel and Hamilton. Let's have Owens in Edmonton.
I'd love to see it. Love to see it.
28%.
John Tavares will tell Lou Lamoriello to take a lap and we'll meet with other teams next week. I heard about your plans for Alcatraz, Lou. I let you get away with that crap in Toronto, but it's not going to happen in Jerry's own backyard.
people aren't going to the island. They're staying put.
Alcatraz. I love that.
I don't think Alcatraz is happening again. I couldn't believe when that stuff was happening. Other GMs were going nuts. I would say to other people in hockey, I'd be like, how come they're making people disappear and you never do? Figure out what they did and do it.
Yeah. I had a conversation recently with a longtime NHL exec, and he had the same response. He's like, honestly, I have no idea how they got away with that. Like, I still don't know how it happened. Guys just disappearing. Contracts don't matter anymore.
Money. That's what it is.
And actually, you know what? The name that he brought up before all of them was Lupul. Like, Lupul's was the strangest.
$5.2 million.
We focus on Robidoux. Remember, he showed up and didn't pass the physical.
Well, he couldn't play.
I understand that. But then posted that thing on Instagram and then took it off. And then all of a sudden had to come out with the mea culpa. Like, sorry, I respect Lou and the Leafs. Like, it was really weird.
Yeah.
It's really
Kadri's
weird.
Like, yeah, talk to Joffrey. He's feeling great. Wants to play hockey. Like, no.
Ready
no.
to go for camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, you're out.
Physical. Not a chance.
Long-term IR. You don't play here anymore.
That's I'm telling
you. Like, that one is still a strange one.
But it's money, too, you can have. When you have that type of, like, backing financially.
Yeah, I know, but you can have all the money you want, but when you're doing stuff that's against the grain where everybody can't follow the rules like you are,
but
it's bizarre.
But it's not there was loopholes. It wasn't.
Literally.
Like, yeah, it wasn't against the rules. It was, hey, there's no rule for this. We can slide it through.
But there's also no rule for a player speaking publicly or posting something. Yeah. Like, I just felt what was weird and what felt awkward about it was the way the players just bought into it completely. Like, yes, Mr. Lamoriello, okay, I'm going over here. I'm never playing again. Like, we goof about it, but, like, Lupul.
But
like, if he showed up and was like, no, I want to play, or fine, give me surgery or whatever, but he never did, by all accounts.
But I guess the only thing I could defend it on the situation is, okay, you want to play? Guess what? You're getting waved through the league. You're going to ride the bus. You want to make your $5.2 million at home, you know, doing what you do? Because Lupul, you see on Instagram, he likes money.
He's having a good time.
He likes music, and he loves that. You want to go listen to music in California or live in New York or whatever? Do that. Or you can play for the Marlies and grind it out, and we'll make life miserable for you. And that's kind of probably was.
I'm assuming something like that probably happened, but still.
Yeah, you're right.
As for the Jerrys, he's saying Tavares is getting in next week and he will meet with other teams. I'm at 90% by now. I mean, if he hasn't signed a deal but with the Islanders now, why wouldn't you wait until you can talk with other teams?
So let me get this straight. The Jerrys is for
just him 1st. Talking to other teams. Yeah, we'll not signing with other teams.
100%.
Talking to other teams.
100%. You don't come this far and then not do it.
I'm going to go 87, just below you. I got a feeling the rabbit can come out.
It's the like signing the bill at 2:55 a.m. and then you just pull the pin on it. You're ready to rock, leave the bar, and you just say, nah, maybe not.
A couple more.
You're a missile, but no thanks. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I think I know what you're saying.
I think I got you.
That loser in Vancouver who ran onto the field and got buried by Marcel Jung will sue the player and he'll win. Wouldn't happen in Jerry's court. That son of a b- deserved that hit like no one else.
Well, he's already hired a law firm. This
I'm
Lions
saying
fan.
0% because I can't even...
Slippery slope. You start.
I got to say 15% because who the hell knows the way society is?
There's no way this is 0%.
Some judge could say, you know what, that was unnecessary force you used on that guy. You had a helmet on. He was defenseless, although he was being. Who knows?
I don't know. I'm saying. That's what the case is going to be. Yes, my client made the dumb decision to jump on the field, and he was prepared for a security guard. Yeah,
but you
but
had an opportunity to get away from him, and you decided to get. I don't know.
That's what the case is going
to
be.
I'd like to see jail time for the kid. I would. I'd like to see jail time for him.
I would like to see jail time for the lawsuit. I don't need jail time for running on the field. You get kicked out, maybe banned for life. But if you're dumb enough to fall through with a lawsuit, immediately you should be jailed.
I just, to me,
25%.
You have to create a deterrent so that people never want to do that again, ever.
That hit should be the deterrent. The hit should have been the deterrent.
And that's what the judge should say. Here's what you got. You're lucky you got off like that.
Yeah, what if some lunatic starts running through Milliere's office with no pants on? What are people supposed to do? Just let him do it? Somebody's got to clothesline him. What's the difference?
Well, yeah, you run into an office somewhere. What, are you going to wait for security?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We all agree on this, but the courts are a difficult beast to kind of get a read
I'm
on.
I'm hoping it's zero, but I'll say 6%.
The Maple Leafs will make at least one significant trade this weekend. Could be moving up or down in the draft, could be for a player, but Dubas will make his presence felt in Dallas.
I like this one from Jerry. I hope he's right. I want to see some movement. Get crazy down there in Dallas.
I'm going to say 45% on this. I think he's calculated and he's not going to make a move to make a move. And I don't know what's out there.
Well,
just my feeling.
Well, how would we define a big, you know?
If you move within, let's say, 10 picks. So if they get the 25th pick. If they move up to 15 or move back to 35, I could see them moving back, potentially. I mean,
so it's just any kind of transaction. But moving from 15 to 35 is not making your presence felt.
But you're getting...
That's what's wrong with this Jerry's.
Well, talk to Jerry then. I don't...
Well, I try to.
Obviously, you don't get through to Jerry.
Your secretary, yeah.
You and Jerry on a different page a lot of times.
I'm just saying define a big move.
Let's have some leeway here. Obviously, it's more than moving from the 25th pick to the 27th. But
trading for a live player?
Yes. Of course it would be. That would be a big move. You know?
Okay, moving and shaking, I'm going to say 40% because I don't think he's going to do that to appease us three, print, web, whatever. 40%.
All right. I think he's going to make a move. But it may not be as big as people think. So 61%.
I think he's looking more at free agency than trades. Like I think when you consider the assets that they have, a lot of them have already established themselves in the NHL.
One of the worst free agent classes of all time?
Well, not if John Tavares is there.
Well, no kidding. But after that, I'll be asleep within 40 minutes talking about Mike Green signing somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, once you move past the top four or five
Thomas
names.
I think Thomas Vanek's in the top 10.
Yeah, 24 goals last year.
I don't care. I'm tired of talking about him. It's every year. Trade center and then free agent frenzy. Thomas Vanek.
He's always available.
And Duffy looks at us and says, what do you think of the move? And I literally want to throw up on the desk.
I'll say 15% on the Jerry's, but I think Ilya Kovalchuk's not getting a lot of print. I mean, this is a former first overall player, perennial all-star, like superstar. He's back in the league.
But he's 35.
I understand that, but he's still name value. He's back.
He is.
You know, like, he's in there. Van Riemsdyk, because of the connection to the city, is in there. Bozak. And then, of course, you got Tavares and Carlson. Like, everything's quiet on Carlson.
John Carlson,
yes. I'm saying, in Washington. Everything's gone completely dark on that.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't heard anything on him leaning, even talking to Washington. That doesn't mean it's not happening.
Last I saw his comments said that he hopes something gets worked out with Washington.
Well, didn't Barry Trotz say that, too?
Well,
wasn't he like, yeah, we'll
he followed up with the classic, it is a business, though, which means I want to sniff around.
Yeah, John Carlson, I don't know. Do we have gold dust. Gold dust?
Give us a gold dust.
If we
find it and let it rock.
That's what the free agents are going to be doing on free agent day. They just are sniffing around general managers' underpants.
Why would they do that?
That's just what I said. Let's get the break here.
All right. Josh Lewenberg will be in studio. We're talking about the NBA draft, the Raptors, and could they be maybe snakes in the grass tomorrow night? I mean, they're looking to be potentially a wild card team and move into the first round. And Dwayne Casey officially announced as the head coach down in Detroit earlier this afternoon. And Darren Dreger will join us at 6:25. Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. NBA draft tomorrow night. We'll get into it. Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. He wants to go to L.A. It sounds like LeBron could end up in L.A. Lots of things to get into on the NBA front. Josh Lewenberg will be in studio at some point in the next hour. And Dreg's coming up from Dallas. He's already down there ahead of the NHL draft on Friday night. And the Jays with a win today. Jay Happ actually pitching into the ninth. Historic day for the Blue Jays. That and more coming up. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.